Hello, my name is Nyquia, and welcome to the Scriptures, Stories, and Strategies podcast, a Christian business podcast that brings together the wisdom of the Bible and the world of business. Join us each week as we explore a different scripture or story from the Bible and unpack its relevance for modern business strategies. Our show is designed to inspire and empower Christian entrepreneurs and business leaders to integrate their faith into their daily work. We believe that the Bible is not just a spiritual guide, but a practical tool for success in the business world. Each episode features a deep dive into a specific scripture or story, along with expert insights and practical takeaways for implementing its teachings in your business. Whether you're just starting out in the business world or are a seasoned entrepreneur, you'll find valuable insights and strategies to help you succeed in your work within our podcast episodes. So tune into Scripture Stories and Strategies to discover the power of the Bible as a business tool and learn how to apply its wisdom in your daily work. Enjoy this episode.
Okay, hello loves, and welcome back to the Scriptures and Stories and Strategies podcast. My name is Nyquia, and I'm not only your sister in Christ, but I'm also your host. I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur with a few businesses under my belt, and the purpose of this podcast is to help Christian entrepreneurs like you infuse more of their faith and God's word within their marketing and business strategies. And I do this by taking scriptures and stories from the Bible and then transforming them into applicable business strategies so that Jesus is always within your business plans, trials, and successes as your number one business partner. And honestly, my ultimate goal, like I say every episode, is to help you learn how to also use the Bible as your number one business tool. So today, guys, is yet another special guest episode, and I'm honored to welcome on Dr. Letitia Lewis today, who is the founder of Kingdom Living Ministries, International Ministries, I'm sorry, and also the Christian author behind her newest book, To Fly for God, which I love that title. We'll talk about that a little later. And in that book, she talks about her inspiring journey from worldly glamour to spiritual surrender, which actually serves as the foundation of today's topic, which is titled Redefining Success, Breaking Free from Pharisaical Business Attachments, or basically the way the Pharisees view their world and how they view Jesus is sometimes the same ways us as Christians view worldly attachments to our business. So a little background before I invite Dr. Lewis on is the Pharisees, if you guys don't know, were the religious leaders in Jesus' time who were very knowledgeable of the Mosaic laws, and they were also waiting on the Messiah. However, through scripture, we come to know that how attached they actually were to their titles, and their titles, their worldly views, their honor, and all other sorts of things. And because almost all of them were finding it hard to surrender from the old laws that they knew and that they were experts on, they couldn't even believe that Jesus was or is who he claimed to be, the Messiah they were waiting on. So they were even jealous of Jesus' teaching for the simple reason someone else was drawing more attention and honor than them. So ultimately, these Pharisees didn't trust in God, Jesus himself in the flesh, and they didn't trust in him truly or try to understand him, even though many of Jesus's teachings were based on the very laws they were experts in. And Jesus always brought up prophecies as well. And so all of this went over the Pharisees' heads, and eventually they thought Jesus to be a blasphemer. So today, as we dive into Dr. Lewis's story, her book, and this topic, I want to align how the Pharisees were blinded by the truth, glamorizing worldly views and refusing to surrender to faith, to help Christians like you who are entrepreneurs lead a life of glamorizing worldly business success and surrendering their businesses to God spiritually. Because honestly, at the end of the day, it's because of him we have the idea, the gifts, the skills to even run our businesses. And we are his servants at the end of the day and stewards of his businesses. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome on Dr. Letitia Lewis. How are you today? How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you? Thank you so much for being here.
No, welcome. Also, if you guys don't know, Dr. Letitia Lewis, she actually has a Bible study, which I have been so honored to join, I think for like two or three times now. And it's amazing. And as we get towards the end of the episode, I'm going to leave some resources for you guys to learn more about that Bible study. But I just want to say thank you for inviting me to that Bible study.
Of course.
you're doing.
Thank you so much. We love to have you.
So I know I gave kind of an introduction, Leticia, but I would love for the audience to hear more from you. I would love to hear more about who was this girl that was too fly for God. And then we're going to get to how you went from that to spiritual surrender through some questions I have for you.
Sure. So this is a long backstory, but I'll sum it up. I grew up in an environment where being a Christian wasn't popular. You know, now we live in a time where, you know, it's almost popular. Everybody has they're doing some Christian content on TikTok or Instagram. And when I was growing up, that wasn't the case. So I've experienced a lot of hardships getting to this point. Now I am a pastor, as you said, of Kingdom of International Ministries. I'm also a pastor of a nonprofit program that does prison ministry as well. So there's been a long journey with that. And I'm just so grateful because it impacted me, my business, and the work that I do.
Wow. I love that. I didn't know about the prison ministry. That is amazing. That is amazing how you're using pretty much your testimony and, you know, your faith to really expand God's word into other areas where people probably don't hear the word as often. So let's dive into, I want to talk about success. I want to talk about materialism. I want to talk about societal expectations because, as an author and a leader, like a pastor, you know, part of your testimony is all about how you went from worldly glamour to spiritual surrender. So can you walk us through, one, how that happened and also how that testimony transcended from your personal life also into your career or business?
Okay. So as a child, like I was saying before, I grew up in a poverty-stricken environment in Washington, D.C., and one of the worst parts of the city where drug addiction and crime is a normal thing. And I knew from a young age that I wanted something different for my life. I became fixated on getting out, and I did everything I could to ensure that as an adult, I wouldn't live like that again, you know? And I knew God always had a calling on my life, but I just couldn't make sense of it at that time. I would encourage all of my friends when they felt bad about their circumstances to finish school, strive for a career, start a business that would get us out of the project, so that we can live the lives that we've always dreamed of. Now, I realized that by accomplishing those things, it made me feel special and relevant. And by feeling special and relevant, I had a hunger for the glamorous life. To me, it marked my arrival in the land of success. After experiencing all the glitz and glamour, I still felt empty. I made my accomplishments and material possessions idols in my life. It wasn't until God wanted my full attention and stripped me of all of those things I had created idols of.
I'm actually curious. So can you name some of the idols that you had during this transition?
So at a very young age, I was already at six-figure salary. Wow. And that was very different from someone that came from nothing, basically. There were times where, you know, our power was turned off, or we had to wash our clothes in the tub, or we had to heat the home with the stove. So that was a very different experience. And I really took advantage of that. And I itemized my money.
Wow. I have a similar experience to that as well. And I think that's how also I found out, you know, a while ago that money was an idol for me. But it was more of the scarcity of money and hoarding money. And same thing, I grew up in a poverty, area. My family, you know, we were poor. Same thing, like we didn't have no light sometimes. I remember one time we lived in a house with no running water for 3 years. How we did it, I don't know, but we made it happen. There was a time where I lived in a 2-bedroom house and it was 7 of us that have, four brothers and, you know, 2 parents. It was a 2-parent household, so that was amazing. But yeah, it was a struggle. And so with that, I always seen that every time there was money coming into the house, everybody was good. But when there was money not in the house, it affected everyone. And what I think that mindset also affected me, how it said, you know, affected you wanting to get out of that. And now, well, not now, back then, every time I got money, I was like, okay, well, I have to keep it. I have to hoard it. Like, I don't want to move it too much. And I'm not thinking that this is an idol because I don't love money, right? But what I came to learn is that I don't trust God because, you know, do I trust, you know, if I believe everything in the Bible is true, then why don't I believe that God will provide for my needs as he promised he would? Because me hoarding on to stuff and being afraid to let go of money or spend money is basically telling God that, you know, I don't believe that if I let this money go, you're going to replenish me and so forth. So I love that you share that. And that's something that we have in common. And that actually brings me into the next question I have for you when you were talking about, you know, that was the idol in your journey is, what do you believe? Because the fact that you make six figures at such a young age, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, a lot of people do fall into that. That's a lot of money, especially at a young age. So what do you think some challenges or what are some challenges you believe entrepreneurs face in detaching themselves from, let's say, quote unquote, worldly measures of success, which let's say in your case, in my case, it was money. Money, and the more money you made, the more successful it is because you got out, you're not in that poverty stricken environment anymore. So what would you say is the challenge that, you know, it's hard for Christian entrepreneurs to detach themselves from?
Entrepreneurs often struggle to detach from the worldly measures of success, such as wealth and status, like you say, you know. To overcome this, Christian entrepreneurs, I think, should prioritize kingdom values like integrity and compassion, seek God's guidance in decision-making, and cultivate gratitude, adopt a stewardship mentality, and focus on making a kingdom impact. Because I feel like when you shift your focus to those things, the wealth, all of that stuff will come. You know, that's secondary to a life filled with Christ and to lead your business in Christ.
I love that. And I want to reiterate something you had said earlier. You said, you know, you had all this money, you had everything essentially that you could buy and want, but you still felt empty. Did you know at the time that that emptiness was a relationship with Jesus, or you were still trying to, I guess, fill that emptiness with worldly things?
I was still trying to fill the emptiness with worldly things. Like, if the latest shoe came out, I had to have it. The best bag, the newest bag, I had to have the bag. The newest car, the newest model of Mercedes, I had to have it. And it was to appease flesh. It was not about God at the time. I knew God. I could quote a few scriptures here and there. I did have a time where I would go to church on Sundays or attend a Bible study here and there, but he was not at the forefront of my life at all.
Wow. I love how you put that. So, okay. So going on to my next question, what has to do a little bit about that. And a little bit also about what I said, our lack in trust in God and God's plan for our lives, you know, also drawing from the Pharisees and their lack of trust in Jesus and how they challenged Jesus or how they were jealous of him or how they, you know, called him, you know, blasphemed him, didn't believe anything he said, even though he was saying every single thing based on what they knew, what they were experts of. So how do you see entrepreneurs struggling with trusting God's plan for their business, and what insights can you share to help them overcome these struggles based on how you decided to trust God when building your ministry and writing your book?
Right. So just as the Pharisees showed a lack of trust in God, we often demonstrate the same level of mistrust.
Yes.
We are the way by our actions. You see, without knowing to trust God, we can't apply the trust needed to overcome. So in the business realm, we can move out of season and do something that God hasn't ordained for us to do just because we see others doing it. God wants us to surrender our will for his will. So all things must be given to God for consideration. First, we must prayerfully ask God for his perfect will regarding the desire to move in business. And yes, we have a permissible will for God, but for the best results, we must seek his perfect will. I suggest fast and pray on it and be willing to wait on an answer from God before we move. I think that's paramount because a lot of times we so hasty, we just so excited to just do something for us and start our business and we just move out of season.
I love that. You asked something you had said that actually You said something, you know, surrendering our will to God. And that actually goes into my next question. But I also want to ask you, once again, you said, you know, you went from six figures. I'm curious, when you were making those six figures and you're doing what you're doing now, my first question, is there a difference in the income you're making now? And then two, do you ever look back and be like, you know what? Like, do you ever miss that old life?
I don't miss the old life. There is a difference in the income that I make now. I had highs and lows. So in my book, I talk about the lows during that testimony. But during that time, I look back and I feel foolish.
Why?
Because the veils was on my eyes. I wasn't able to see what I see now, you know. And I'm just grateful that I didn't die in that, you know, just like the Bible says, we perish for the lack of knowledge. And now that I understand, you know, I'm grateful that I have understanding now and I can handle finances better and handle, you know, I have a better responsibility, a greater responsibility with ministry, work, business, you know, and I can handle it, you know.
I love that. And so going back into what you said about the importance of surrendering, you know, our will for God, even our businesses to God, and seeking a deeper connection with them. So, you know, reading from what your book is about, To Fly for God, which we'll get to in a few, you know, you had it all, the career, as you said, you had the social status, you had the money, you basically had that financial stability you didn't have as, you know, a little girl. So now you have all this stuff now. So what did you have to lose to completely surrender to God's will? And do you think possible to still be successful in business without following God's will?
Oh, this is a great question. So first, it is just important for us to surrender yourself to God. Let me just start by saying that. Because he loves us so much and he wants the best for us, we really have to, that's the best way to avoid unnecessary hardships if we just surrender to him. See, I was one of God's stubborn children. I had to lose everything that I made an idol out of. I had to lose the arrogant mentality of not needing anyone but myself. I lost my finances, material possessions, and my social status, of course. It was at that point that I knew something was dreadfully wrong. I had to lose the old me to be reborn into the life of Christ. So I do believe it's possible to be what you think is successful in life without God. With that, we must understand that the enemy gives gifts too. But in the process, you are losing yourself. See, the enemy is crafty. He includes the gift of compromise, rebellion, arrogance, and self-destruction in that process.
Wow, that's deep. The enemy gives you. That's deep. I love that. And so this kind of all incorporates, you know, you have this book. Is it this book already out, To Fly for God, or is something you're still working on?
Yes, it is already out. It is available for purchase on my website.
And I'll have all this information down below, but I want to hear more about the, you know, why did you write To Fly for God? What's it about? Who it's for? And what can someone learn after reading this book?
What someone can learn from reading this book is that it's never too late to start again, number one. And it will hopefully, my prayer is that this book encourages people to put God first. Look at my story as a testament of being rebellious, of being arrogant, you know, and that if you put God first, you can avoid the pitfalls that I fell into, you know. And I just want to see people really put God first, but know how to do that. So in the book, I really speak to my journey, but it will really encourage you to see, what is it about this God, if you don't know him? What is it about this God that she endured all of this and survived? Because I really fell into a sunken place during this time. Like, yes, you guys will be reading the story, but I lived it. And during the time, the enemy was plaguing me. Like, I had attempted suicide. I had thoughts of suicide. I didn't attempt. I had thoughts of suicide. Like, I fell into a deep depression because I was so used to a certain social status, a financial status. And I just want to encourage people to just put God first, because it is a detriment to you if you don't, to your business, to your life, to even your family around you, you know?
Yes. And so, speaking of putting God first, can you give us some examples? So for the Christians that are listening that do own these businesses, a lot of people ask, like, well, I know I have to put God first, but how do I put God first? Is there anything I need to be doing aside, you know, reading scripture, or, you know, what, you know, can you give us some examples of what you did that can maybe inspire someone else on exactly what you did to help, do that?
First, I went to God just humble. I was first humble. I was like, hey, and I was so honest. I wasn't trying to put on. I came naked and afraid. And I went before the Lord in prayer and said, you know, if you are the God that I hear about, that I read about, if you are who you say you are, then I need you to help me. I have some questions for you, and I need you to show up for me. This is what's happening in my life. This is where I feel like my life is going. I'm ready to surrender to you if you are the God that I've read about or that I've heard about, you know. And in doing that, I meditated on his word. I studied. I read his word. And I would pray daily. I would go in, I created a space in my closet. I just sit on the floor in the closet and I speak to him just like a conversation like you and I are having. God, this is what's going on. And when I come out of that closet, it's felt like a load has left me, you know, like I just dropped all my issues on his lap. And then I would pray. I would read my Bible. I would open the Bible. God, give me a word today. Give me some understanding, because I am a firm believer of, if you are not reading your word, how are you hearing from him?
Amen. Amen. Yep.
So I suggest first, you know, that anybody that's just starting out, have that one-on-one time with him. Really create space for deep meditation in him and really sit with yourself in your mess. Come naked and afraid. This is who I am and transparent. And God is so forgiving and loving. His grace is amazing. You know, and I always say Jesus is my best friend, because I really feel that way because of the connection that I built with him by doing just those things. Sitting and having time with him, meditating on his word, and waiting.
I love that. And you had said something where, you know, you said you went to, you know, you have this dedicated closet, you went to your closet and you asked God, you know, show me, you know, what I need to know. Show me what I need to read. I'm curious, and I'm sure our listeners are too, when you were in this trial in your life, can you give us an example or a scripture that God pointed you to that had to do with your situation that really helped you move forward, that maybe someone else listening is probably going through something similar and they can go back to the Bible, read that story or that scripture to really understand what God is saying to them and what's next?
There are so many scriptures that I could draw from, but one that I meditated on, because I am one of those believers that I'm going to test the spirit by the spirit. Yeah. When I said that, I mean, I really wanted to test to see if he was the God that I've always heard about. So 2 Corinthians 1:20 always come to me, because this spoke to this situation. For all the promises of God in him are yea in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. That scripture spoke to me because I'm like, if I'm obedient, if I'm living the life that God says that he wants me to live, there's nothing he wouldn't do for me. There's nothing that he's not going to deliver me from. There's nothing that that I'm going to want, because let's be honest, my flesh craved those worldly things. And because I'm still in the flesh, I had to fight my flesh for a long time to God remove those desires. Now I really don't care. Oh, if I had those things that I used to have. But that scripture spoke to me because it was a reminder, like, yeah, you can still have what you want. You can still have the things, the life that you like, but you cannot make an idol out of. So, and it was a reminder that he's going to give me the desires of my heart.
Amen. Yes, I love that. And the last thing I actually wanted to ask you about, because, you know, you're a pastor, you have two ministries that you're working on. You do Bible study, you're an author. And so with all that being said, I kind of want you to talk a little bit about what you do in the prison ministry, because out of all the guests I've had so far, no one has ever, you know, talked about doing anything about prison ministry. And I'm curious, and I'm sure our audience is curious, is what does that look like? What do you do? What role do you play in that? And I would just love to hear a little bit more about that.
Sure. So I am a spiritual leader, and I first started off with a group called Kairos. That is a prison ministry for obviously the inmates, but their families as well. And the families, you have to be impacted by imprisonment, whether it's the close family member or a friend. You have to have some type of experience with dealing with someone in prison. And my experience growing up, my dad was in and out of prison. So that shaped some choices that I made in life, not having him around and then having him back around. So I had issues with abandonment because I felt like when he was gone, he was gone. So during that process, I didn't know at the time that I would be an adult and still deal with abandonment issues, but it was brought to my attention. And a friend of mine told me about this prison ministry. And I always had a heart for people in prison because I remember as a child, some people didn't have visitors, families to come and love on them, you know? And I said, I wanted to make sure that once I got involved in prison ministry, I wanted to make sure that these people saw the love of God on me, that they saw that people out here really do care about them. So what I do with prison ministry, I go and speak to the women weekly, and we have sessions where we talk about different subjects, birth, about abandonment, abuse, love, children, just a various thing of topics. And I really enjoyed that so much, and I learned so much for them. And it really keeps me humble as well because, you know, these women have endured so many things that I feel like it would have took me out, you know, and just to love on them and just to show that we are there. We are here to receive them when they're coming home and love, because a lot of them fear rejection. They fear that they're going to be judged. So I love doing prison ministry.
Oh, that's amazing. It touched my heart when you said, you know, some people don't have to visit them, and you can be that person that visits them, and not only just visit them, but they see, they feel you, whether they know Jesus or not, they feel a light from you, or you light that path for them, and you share his word and you share his truth, and knowing that if nobody else is here for you, Jesus is here for you. So I think that's amazing. I love that. Do you have are there any other projects or any other, you know, things that you're working on, books that you're working on in the future that you would love to talk about?
Yeah. So you guys know that I just completed To Fly For God, which I'm excited about. My project that I'm currently working on, I've been working on it for maybe almost a year now. I have a Christian television network that I am pitching to other Christian content creators to bring their shows, cartoons, classes, church services and stuff to the channel. So there is a solidified 24-hour Christian content TV station that's on television. So it is featured on Apple TV, Roku, and I'm going to pitch it to Fire TV as well. But right now, that is the folk that has been the main focus of the year so far outside of the book. Just building up a community of people that want to have their content on television just for, you know, the Christian community. So outside of the TV channel, that's Kingdom Living Entertainment. I do the online Bible study. That's the Christian community Bible study every Wednesdays at 8. It's really fun. I think it's fun. And I'm working on my second book. I'm not sure when it'll be out this, maybe the summertime, but this book speaks to more of my background and how I became a pastor. So I'm looking forward to that.
You have so many entrepreneurial, you know, suits under your belt that you're working on. I want to touch on, and by the way, guys, once again, I'm going to have everything that Leticia talks about below, but I want to touch on real quick before we end this episode on the, because you said you're looking for content creators that want to put their work into this entertainment, the Kingdom Entertainment, whether if you're a content creator and you write, you know, Christian cartoons, Christian movies, something around that, how can they get in touch with you? How can they submit their work to you? Or how can they even help you? Because I know you said you're going to be pitching to Apple TV and so forth, but how can they get involved with this project?
Sure. So first they can go to the website. It's www.kingdomliveentertainment.com, and they can put in the contact box. They can put their information, and it'll send me an email. And it'll go directly to me if you put it there. If it's about Christian content, it'll go directly to me. And all the contact information is right up on the website. And I would love to have all the assistance I can get.
And do you have a goal on when you plan to launch this?
Yes, my goal is July the 1st.
Oh, no. Okay, this year.
Yes, July the 1st. I want to pitch it. But I'm trying to get as many Christian content creators that want to be a part of it, because it's going to be a big deal, because we're going to have on-demand services, and you can subscribe. If they want to have just a subscription-based service, they're able to do that. So it's a really big deal, and I'm super excited about it.
You guys, this is such a great movement to be a part of. This is such a big next step, because if you think about, you know, broadcast channels out there, streaming networks, there's, you know, there's only a few I can count on my hand, literally on one hand, that dedicates all their content to, you know, Christians, or is Christian based or Christian focused. And it's very rare nowadays. Everything is so worldly. Everything is mostly secular. Like it's really rare. And so to be a part of a movement like that, I'm so happy that you took the initiative to create something like this. Because I hear about it, like, from celebrities, like, you know, there's some Christian celebrities that want to start something like that. And I heard it in the grapevine, but I haven't seen anything yet. And so the fact that this is coming out sometime this year, I think that's amazing. And can you see the name of that network again?
It's Kingdom Living Entertainment.
Kingdom Living Entertainment. And once again, guys, I'm going to have all the details down below. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Lewis, for coming on here and all the Christian entrepreneurs today. You are an amazing person to look up to. Not only, like I said, are you an entrepreneur, but you're a pastor as well. And like I say, if you guys are interested in Bible studies, I will also have that information down below. It's an online Bible study. You can join in if you're available, and I'll list the times and things down below as well to learn more information. But is there anything or any encouragement that you want to leave off to anyone who may really be struggling in their journey right now when it comes to business, if they're struggling with idols or they don't know if something is an idol?
I would first suggest just take time for yourself to really sit and see if whatever you're doing is wrong. Because sometimes we know something is happening. We know something is going wrong, but we don't know how to address it. Okay. So I feel like we should write those things down and present these things to God. God, this is what these are the issues I'm having in my business. God, I need you to give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding what is going on in my business. Really consider God. Seek Him. Seek Him. That's the best advice I can give anybody. Seek Him first. Everything else will be okay.
And that's an amen to that. Thank you so much once again, Dr. Lewis, for joining us today on this episode of Scripture Stories and Strategies. And I will talk to you guys soon. Thank you, guys, and have a good rest of your day.
Do you feel that? That heat? That fuel?
Girl, that's that faith fuel. And I pray you use the fuel and lessons learned today in this episode and apply them to your personal life and business journey. Feel free to screenshot this episode and share a business lesson you learned and will now be incorporating in your business. Don't forget to tag me, okay, at The Marketing Profit, so I'm notified and we can talk more about how you're going to apply those lessons to your business strategy in the DMs. It would also mean so much to me to reach all the faith-based entrepreneurs who want to infuse God within their business journey. But in order to do that, I need your help to get the word out. I would love if you'd comment, rate, and subscribe to this podcast in order to help me reach those girls and share these biblical business strategies. Let them know what they're missing. Okay, don't tell them I can turn water into wine, but let them know I can turn scriptures and stories into applicable and action-packed business strategies. Thank you so much, faith-fueled friend, and I will talk to you in my next episode. Have a blessed day.